I suppose I had all sorts of dreams and ambitions for him. Because, well, he was my lad. People used to say, "You're just like your dad." I like to hear that. But his mum used to say, "Oh, pity help you. You're just like your dad." We used to go down to the lake. Hire a boat. Spend a whole day fishing. Fishing and talking. Dreaming our dreams. Some days we wouldn't catch a thing. Other days we'd have a feast of fish for tea. It was great. Truth be told, though, really not a fish eater. But I just loved spending time with my boy. I was devastated. He got sick. We didn't know what was wrong. And it was just like one of those storms, you know, that blows up in the lake. Just out of nowhere, the wind hurtling down the valley. And just all of a sudden, the lake's just chaos. Sickness just came out of nowhere. Doctors couldn't tell us anything. They had no idea at all what was wrong. No idea. You know, my wife and I, we might, you know, have a good job, good salary, a big house. Job in the corridors of power. Position of respect in the community. It's all going for us. Best health care package. But I tell you, when your child's sick, it doesn't mean very much. Okay, some people despise me. I worked for Herod. But we were desperate. So somebody told me the teacher had come back to Galilee, and he was up the valley, up in the hills at Cana. Well, I took off like a shot. I'd heard all the stories, you see, people talking about when he went to the festival, the Passover feast down in Jerusalem, and yeah, all the fuss was about the temple and turning over the tables and all this stuff. But there were amazing stories. There were stories of miracles. Amazing things. People's lives being changed. And there were stories from around here too. There were stories here in Galilee. Storms stopped just because he spoke. The teacher walking on the waves. Big Peter, and some of his friends. Amazing stories about they'd been out all night, caught nothing. And the teacher saw them from the shore and he says, "Put out a wee bit further, throw your net on the other side." This incredible catch of fish. There was even a story from up in Nain, it's just up the road, about a widow's son being brought back to life by the teacher, by Jesus. But resurrection's God's work, is it not? Makes you think. Anyway, I was off. Took me ages. It's about 25 miles from Capernaum up to Canaan. Blistering hot day. And I ran right into the heat of the day. When any sensible man's in the shade having a rest, I ran. I've told you. I was desperate. My heart was just sore. I ran from the lake up the valley, up the roads as quick as I could. And I got there around the seventh hour. It was about just after midday. And I had to search to find the teacher in the village. I was really hurt by his first words. Couldn't believe it. He says, unless you see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. He wasn't just talking to me. He's kind of talking to everybody because people were following me wondering what was going on. I suppose it created a bit of a fuss. And I told him I wasn't interested in tricks. I just wanted my boy back. I didn't want to lose him. I think he saw right into my heart. I just wanted my boy back. Yeah, there were people who wanted to see what Jesus was going to do, what he was going to do next. They didn't really care about who he was. It was just a bit of a circus. They wanted a buzz. People can be so fickle, you know. And in Galilee, it was nearly worse. You know, a prophet in his own land and all that. Because the teacher, well, from Nazareth, again, not far from here either. As I say, I think he saw right into my heart. Kind of saw my pain. There was something in his eyes when he looked at me. It was like he could see right down into my soul. And I just asked him, come down with me, come before he dies, down to Capernaum, down the valley. Because like, if you're going to heal somebody, you need to be there, right? Wrong. He just simply said, you may go. Your son will live. But the way he spoke those words, they were like wrapped in authority, full of truth, compassion. I've heard people say that when he teaches, he speaks with authority, with power. Not like the scribes or the Pharisees. It's truth. It's like the truth, when he spoke to me, the truth was in him. It's like he is the truth. You know, just the way to live, that all of life is in his words. It's almost like he is the truth, the word in person, here, living among us. It's like the word made flesh. He said, your son will live. I just knew I could trust him. I just knew. Right then, that moment, it just hit me. It was like a ton of bricks. It struck me. Where am I? I'm in Cana. All the rumors, all the stories came rushing into my head. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. At the wedding here in Cana. I don't know if you've heard the story or not, but the teacher and his mother, Mary, they were at a family wedding, and the host's nightmare ran out of wine a few days into the celebrations. Well, she just told the servants, do whatever he tells you. The water jars were filled by the servants, taken to the master of the banquet, and it had become the best wine. Unbelievable. Do whatever he tells you. Boys, I tell you as well, that saved some embarrassment for the newlyweds. You don't want to start your life with that shame hanging over you. It's like you're doomed. Do whatever he tells me. Go, your son will live. I had to trust those words. They were said with such compassion, and I tell you, peace just flooded my very soul. So I simply took Jesus at his word. Didn't need to see. You know, my son was 25 miles away in the village, down at the lake. I couldn't see. Your son will live. But I just had to trust him. I set off again, back down the valley. I was exhausted, but I was full of hope. Hope just burnt within me. It was like the sun beating on my head. But I couldn't stop. I had to get down to the lake, down home, down to my boy. It was just then that I saw them. It was about 10 miles into the journey. And to be honest, trust. My heart nearly stopped. I was fearful. But there was something in their faces. There was a lightness. There was a joy. And I knew it was okay. I knew my boy lived. I asked my servants, when did he get better? And it was at the exact time that Jesus spoke. At the seventh hour, the exact time. The exact time he said, your son will live, they told me. He got better the day before. I'm telling you, he's a man of his word. Go, your son will live. Do whatever he tells you. No trickery. There's no magic touch. There's no big circus show. And my son was 25 miles away. Do I understand what happened? No. No, I don't. Do I trust Jesus? Yes. Completely. Do I believe in him? Absolutely. And my whole family now too. He is just full of the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's transformed my world. Transformed our family. And I am so thankful. So what? For you and I this morning, what does this story tell us? Do we want faith to be a circus full of tricks? Michael Card, musical theologian, simply says, it's as if Jesus wants the miracle to be as unmiraculous as possible. Jesus in the ordinary stuff of life. Faith in the ordinary stuff of life. Truth. John's gospel points us to who Jesus is. Jesus' identity. And it's revealed at times through miracles. This is the second sign that we read about in John. But the signs are not about the magic trickery. It's about who Jesus is, and it's about his divinity. Jesus' identity and divinity is the point, not the miracle in itself. And that's what the people in Galilee got caught up in, following Jesus for all the buzz, not for who he was. That's why, again, in church here, we're talking about Christianity Explored. And again, please speak to Stephen or myself this morning. And I just thought it would be helpful. Over 6 or 7 weeks, thinking about who was Jesus, Jesus' aim, Jesus' death on the cross, what does grace mean, Jesus and his resurrection, and what does it mean to be a Christian? They're the themes that we will be looking at. And please, please speak to us for the next week or two as we try to just gather up, just even if it's a small group of us, to look at the truth of who Jesus is. Final point is this: trust. And thank you, Robert, Jack, Stephen, for earlier on, and the trust that you showed. The man took Jesus at his word. The man took Jesus at his word. Should we say together? John chapter 4, verse 50. But faith, maybe for you in times of desperation, like the man, and maybe your experience and your heart's cry is, Lord, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Absolutely. Take Jesus at his word and he will be your rock. But there's another thing here. Faith in active discipleship. What do I mean by that? And so often we come crying to Jesus in desperation, and I know that. I know that through family bereavement. But actually, faith in active discipleship is about faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Like Abraham, James 2:22, his faith was made complete by what he did. So somehow our theology and our practice need to work together. And can I ask this morning, it's like those good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. Are we serving and living out our faith? Are we active disciples, or are we comfortably numb? And we just come and sit, go through the motions, because we are called to take Jesus at his word. And that says, go and make disciples. That says, when you pray. There's so many commands that we have to live out. Are we taking Jesus at his word this morning? I know this is a wee bit different this morning. I hope the Lord has spoken to you through it. And really thankful to Alex and Lorna. And there's a beautiful song that Alex had been talking to me about for a little while called Oceans. And just changing the order of the service slightly, that we're going to, Alex and Lorna are going to sing just to us in a moment. Let me just, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Please just sit quietly and listen as we sing and share this beautiful, beautiful song with you. You in the mirror.
Father, teach us to trust you. Spirit, lead me
to a place where trust is without borders. Father, speak to us the words that you would have for us this morning, that we may be people who live out our faith, to take you at your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship God now in our morning offering, and say the little change in the service. We're going to sing Mighty to Save. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. And we'll keep our seats together until the offering is completely lifted, and then we will stand together. So we all keep our seats, and then we will stand when maybe I'll just give a wee nod or a wee shout from the front here so that there's no confusion. And there'll probably be confusion. But...
Ready to save. children leave for Sunday school. And as we remain here, we turn to God and we pray together once more. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God who is mighty to save. You are the God who calls us to come and to place our trust in you. And we gladly do that this day, for you are completely trustworthy. And Lord, as